Hello, and welcome to Conversations Towards Reconciliation with Alderville First Nations Chief Tainar Simpson. I'm your host, Robert Washburn. This program is coming to you from the Williams Treaty Territory and Northumberland 89.7 FM. For the next 30 minutes, we will bring you important stories and issues facing Indigenous and non-Indigenous people living here in Northumberland County and across the country. It is your chance to become better informed, more engaged, and empowered as we all move together on the path to reconciliation. So join us for the next step on this journey. I am here with Alderville First Nations Chief Tainar Simpson, who has some landmark news for us today. Welcome to the show, Chief.
Oh, it's fantastic to be here from Belém, Brazil, and the COP30 United Nations Climate Change Conference.
The Band Council passed a resolution that was a milestone, giving legal personhood to Rice Lake. Under what legal authority can Alderville do such a thing?
Under our Chadaknagewin, which is our supreme law, we have the ability to make laws for ourselves and pass declarations. And seeing as we are under the Canadian system, an Indigenous First Nations law is by extension also a Canadian law.
Well, Alderville believe they have the authority. Many people listening may not understand how this is being exercised, since other authorities and governments and institutions have jurisdiction over Rice Lake currently and in the past. How does that work?
Well, it's going to become a partnership of all the stakeholders around. That includes levels of government, municipalities, homeowners, boaters, fishermen, people who use the lake, and the other seven Williams Treaty First Nations as well. So it's going to be a conglomeration of all of these different organizations coming together for the benefit of the lake.
When we talk about legal authority, is this going to be laws or bylaws? How does that work?
Well, it's going to be a legal personality the same way a corporation has been granted legal personhood. It's something that has been accepted in the corporate world for many years, and it's just becoming, in vogue, you'll say, to grant these same personhood protections to natural bodies.
So why does Rice Lake need personhood to be protected?
Well, unfortunately, the lake has seen better days. We're seeing lots of pollution. We're seeing deoxygenation. We're seeing invasive weeds and fish come in. And we have laws on the books that are there to stop this kind of thing, to stop the overfishing. But unfortunately, those laws aren't being enforced. So what this legal personality does is it gives it more of a voice to be able to speak for itself when it's being harmed under Canadian laws.
These laws, these regulations, these guidelines and the rules from the various levels of government, why are they not protecting the lake? You make it sound like nothing's there to protect it. What's the difference between what is going to exist in the future to what has existed in the past?
Well, I think there's been a lack of will. There's been a lack of resources. There's been a lack of adequate monitoring. So it's been a perfect storm of neglect that has managed to take Rice Lake from its pristine condition 100 plus years ago to the point now where it can barely sustain its fish that it used to have. So we just want to roll the clock back. We want to ensure that the laws are being implemented, that bad actors who are harming the lake are going to be brought to justice. So this doesn't bring any new laws onto the books. This just does bring that additional authority, conviction, and political will that was lacking before.
It sounds to me like you're talking about it's more about enforcement than it is about creating laws or more rules.
Yes, essentially it's about giving a voice to the lake where there wasn't a voice before. So if the lake was being damaged and being ill-treated, there was nobody to say, hey, I'm not feeling good, or someone harmed me, there's nothing I could do. So this legal personality, legal personhood, gives that voice under a guardians council made up of all of the stakeholders around the lake and allows them, the guardian council, to speak for the lake when it's being harmed.
I'd like to come back to that idea of the Guardian Council in a moment, but I'm just trying to get in my head and for the listeners how this is going to work. Are there going to be patrols? Is there going to be a hotline? How is this enforcement going to take place?
Well, this is the we're at the very beginning. Right now, everything is on the table. We would advocate for more resources for the protection. We would advocate for proper monitoring, which is woefully inadequate right now. We aren't getting proper readings. We aren't getting proper water level readings. So we need a new system of monitoring. We need systems of testing, not just in one place or two places, all over. We do need that additional enforcement when we notice that there's illegal fishing happening. When we call it in, there should be action right away, not a follow-up a day or two later, because when we see something happening in the moment, it needs to be stopped in that moment.
Will that be the responsibility of Alderville, or will that be the agencies or the law enforcement? Who's going to be responsible then for enforcing the laws and the rules and regulations?
Well, I think in a perfect world, the Guardian Council, made up of all these different organizations, would have almost a hotline for Rice Lake related issues. So if we notice something, the proper authorities could be alerted. So it could be either environmental agencies, if there's a pollution leak detected, or it could be the conservation agencies, depending on what happens, or it could be law enforcement, depending on what sort of action needs to be taken.
Will there be any role for Alderville in terms of enforcement? Are you going to have people out there monitoring, doing all these things that we've just talked about?
I don't think that's in the cards at the moment. We don't have the ability. We've been, as we've discussed on previous shows, we have a complete lack of policing in Alderville. So we don't have the capacity to do that. We'd be relying on our partner law enforcement agencies, such as the OPP.
What is the precedent for allowing this to happen?
Well, this was first, I guess, legal personhood was first granted in Canada to the Magpie River in Quebec. And it was one of the last pristine river systems that was completely intact in Quebec. So they saw that some of the power companies wanted to dam it up and completely destroy the ecosystem, ecology, and how that natural body functions. So they took the unprecedented step at the time of granting legal personhood, and it's worked. It's been a great success, and this is what we want to do. We're following that precedent, pretty much following in their footsteps to be able to get this for Alderville and for Rice Lake.
Now, the Innu who granted legal personhood to the Magpie River used a system of Guardian, and we've just talked about that earlier, but what laws, rules, and regulations will Guardians use then in your case?
Well, I think our case is a bit more complex, whereas we're not starting with a pristine water body. We are starting with one that is post-pristine, if you will, and is facing a lot of challenges. So when we bring the Guardian Council hasn't been formed yet, but when that is, everyone will bring their knowledge and experience to the table, their certain viewpoint, what they would like to see happen with the river, with the lake. So I think this all still needs to be determined. We are still at the very beginning, and being only the first in Ontario, we're going to be having to figure it on the go. But the plan is there, and we've just received a lot of support from all of our neighbors and allies. So we're just really excited at this point.
So then what will be the Guardian's responsibility, this Guardian Council? Will it be research, inventories, monitoring?
I think getting the information is key. We need to know exactly the state of the lake right now, and due to those issues I was talking about before, we don't have a very good understanding of how bad it is in the lake. So I think the very first steps would be to get that environmental monitoring in, the water sampling, take stock of what species, fish counts are in there, just so we can see what we're looking at, what the problems are. We know there's a lot of invasives. There's carp, there's northern pike. There's a lot of seaweeds that are in there that aren't supposed to be. So identifying those invasive species so that they can be managed and eradicated, hopefully, would be a big step as well, too.
The work of the Guardians, does it replace current work of other agencies or other institutions?
No, it doesn't, because those other agencies and institutions would actually be part of the Guardians Council. So it just brings everyone together, whereas right now everyone's operating in their own silo and not communicating with each other. We're bringing them all together for the sake of Rice Lake, so that when one person has an issue, everyone knows about it. So the information will be shared and acted upon. So maybe a different organization has the answer when the one with the problem didn't have the answer.
How will traditional Anishinaabe knowledge play a role?
Well, the big role for us is we've been maintaining and stewarding the lake for the past 10,000 years. No one knows Rice Lake better than the Mississauga. So we are going to take this traditional knowledge that we have, and we're going to share that with our allies and our partners on the council. So we understand how it's evolved over the years, when the dams came in, how that fundamentally changed Rice Lake from basically what was a big river that would swell to the size of a lake, and then it would recede back to the river during the course of the year. Now it's always at its maximum flood length. So we don't want to change that. We want to keep the lake the way it is. We just want to restore it to how we know it was. And we do have that traditional knowledge of talking about what we would get from the lake in terms of fish, in terms of birds. Bringing the rice back is going to be key, because the rice used to feed so many ducks and geese that when they would all fly off, it would block out the sun. There were so many. So we'd love to bring back the rice, which would bring back all the fish stocks, all of the birds, muskrat, beaver. It would be a food source for all of the animals that need to be there that currently aren't.
What if someone is caught breaking laws or regulations? What is going to be the process?
Well, I think we need to create some sort of a reporting system, because I am on the lake, and I've just been, for the last several years, I've seen all these fishermen from the GTA come in. They set up shop, they just take as much as they can and they go, and there really has been no repercussions for that. So when they know that they're allowed to do that, they're going to keep doing that. And this year I've been hearing from people that the fish just aren't there anymore, when at least he could go out and get some. Like, we've been hearing that a lot of the fish stocks are way down, and I mean, the bad deoxygenation is playing a key, but also the fact that the fish are being pulled out much quicker than they can be replaced. So we want to make sure that when we see this, we can act on it. And right now, when we do call it in, unfortunately, there is no immediate response. The capacity is just not there. And then we might get a follow-up call. So we just want to make sure that the ability to actually enforce the laws that are on the books can take their course.
Now, once somebody's been charged and it goes before the courts, what's going to happen? How is personhood going to change this process?
Well, I think in court, that's the big issue, is now that like a child who has a guardian, the lake has a guardian that can speak and represent it in court. So whereas before, there would be no voice for the lake, now the guardians would be able to represent the lake in court and say, I've been harmed. We would like to, you know, ensure that this person doesn't harm us again, and let the courts figure out how that's done.
It's my understanding that no cases have gone to court in the Magpie River over the last 4 years that personhood has existed, because it really hasn't been tested in court.
No, it hasn't. So this is it's a very novel concept, but it has been gaining steam around the world. Several nations have implemented legal personhood for natural bodies. So this is one of those things where we're happy to be at the forefront. We're happy to be doing stuff that's never been done before, because we knew to save our lake, we were going to have to do something that hasn't been done before. And this is the solution that we feel is going to finally restore the lake to its former glory.
The concept of personhood is interesting. It challenges us to think about Rice Lake the same way we think about a child or an adult, as you've already alluded to. What rights will be given to the lake? The lake will have rights according to the Band Council resolution. And when I was doing my homework on this, it said that there's the right to maintain its natural biodiversity, the right to perform essential functions within the ecosystem, the right to maintain its integrity, the right to be free from pollution, the right to regenerate and restoration, and the right to take legal action. What does that all mean once it's lifted off the page and it's going to be applied?
Well, this is a good question. So I think in terms of, say, pollution, say an industry decides that they want to pump the lake maybe via the autonomy full of dangerous chemicals. We know this has been happening for years. If there anything has been just slaps on the wrist for industry, this would be where we would be able to take our science, our monitoring, say, like, we found these chemicals, these toxic elements in the lake that we know that you put there. You're going to have to answer for that. And then we would actually be able to have some sort of a representation at the legal level to bring that case forward.
If I'm a property owner, will this impact me and my property?
It will impact your property in terms of benefits. You're going to see a lake that you can be proud of. You're going to see a lake that's producing more fish. You're going to see a lake where people aren't abusing it. I think overall, like, this is going to increase your curb appeal. I mean, there was a time when you could draw water from Rice Lake and take a drink of it and feel really good. And that time wasn't that long ago. You would not want to do that today, but we want to get back to the point where you can do that. So that's what we're offering to the landowners, the cottagers that are on the lake.
What if I own a business? Will this impact me?
I don't think it would impact you, especially if it's in tourism. The ultimate goal would be to increase revenues from tourism because the lake is more enjoyable. So I don't see any negative consequences for the people on the lake and around the lake. All I see is positive benefits. The only people that would have to be concerned would be the ones that are harming the lake, the ones that are the bad actors, and the ones that are taking the actions right now that are harming the lake.
You just said tourism is a huge part of the economy of Rice Lake, but will this affect the ability of people coming to use and enjoy the use of the lake? I know there are bad actors, but could it create a reputation where, you know, you can't go and have fun at Rice Lake because somebody's always telling you you can't do something?
No, I wouldn't say that at all. In fact, it's the opposite. We want people to enjoy the lake more. We want the fishermen out there. We want healthy fish stocks so that we can bring the fish. Alderville has a long tradition of bringing American tourists out onto the lake. And that was one of our first industries when we formed Alderville, was the American tourists would come to us, we would take them on the lake, and they would catch nice big fish, and everyone was happy. So that hasn't happened in a while, and people aren't pulling out those big muskies like they used to anymore. So we want to get back to the point where, you know, we can have a sustainable fish stock where tourism can take fish, people can take fish, like, everyone should have enough if it's done properly. There was a time when Rice Lake was the number one fishing lake in Ontario, just because the way it's set up, it's perfectly set up to be a wonderful fish farm, almost, if you will. So we want to get back to that levels where there's more than enough fish for everybody. But we're not there. We're in a polluted lake that has deoxygenation, the invasive species like the carp are eating up all of the eggs from the natural fish that are there. So we really just want to restore that balance that has thrown everything out of whack over the past few decades.
What if disputes over the Guardian Council and property owners or businesses occur? How will these be resolved?
Well, I think this would be exactly a job for that council. If there's a problem, I think it would come to the council. People would have their voice. If you are, say, a cottager, you probably actually already have a seat at that council. So depending on how your dispute is, we would ideally resolve it together in In a natural way, instead of a legal way. So the way we do it in First Nations is we have a talking circle. Everyone gets their say. You can't speak over someone. If you're holding that talking stick or that feather, everyone gets their say. And it's actually really a wonderful way to do it, because today in a boardroom, you'll just see people talking over, people ignoring. But when that person has that talking stick and they're speaking their piece, their truth, everyone has to hear it. I mean, that everyone gets their chance. And by the time everyone's done, everyone has a really good understanding of where everyone's coming from. So I'm not saying that's what we're going to bring into the Guardians Council, but that might be one of the ways we resolve disputes.
How about any disputes between other levels of government, agencies, and institutions?
Well, I think this is where we get back down to the science of the lake, because everyone comes to the table with their own facts, their own set of data, and they might be completely different from everybody else's data. So with the Guardians Council having one solid set of data that we know to be accurate, that's going to greatly reduce these intergovernmental issues, so that we are all coming on the same page, basically. So if we're all on the same ground, we can't argue from different levels, because we have already set up the system not to do that.
Who is supporting this? I understand Port Hope Council has passed a resolution. Are there other municipalities?
Yes. So I've spoken with other mayors. So as you said, Port Hope has passed a resolution to support this initiative. I've heard from other mayors who also want to support this initiative. And I think that now that we have done this, and it's going to be out there more, more are going to come to the table, and they're going to say, hey, this is probably the time to do it. So that's what we're waiting for, especially because they're going to want a seat at the table. And even if they don't pass a resolution, they would still have a seat at the table. It's not like you have to buy into our plan. Even if you, for whatever reason, are against this, but you're a stakeholder, you would still have that seat at the table.
How do these rights allow the guardians to seek redress for harm suffered by the lake and receive compensation?
Yes. So I guess, that's a good question. This is one of those things that we're going to figure out. I don't necessarily think that compensation is what we're going for, because we're trying to protect the lake. But if it is, say, industrial pollutants, sometimes the only thing that corporations understand is the pocketbook. So if there's some sort of punitive damage is done so that they're not going to do this again, then I think that's key. Also, perhaps they would have to invest in some kind of depollution system, or maybe put in those filters, or just not pump in the toxic chemicals that they're currently putting in. So I think we are looking more for actionable redress than we would be for like monetary compensation.
Some people listening might be surprised to learn this has taken place. How do you hope to engage the public?
Well, we've had a few information sessions so far, but we would be very happy to host public meetings in Alderville at our community center, or we could come to that municipal or township town hall and to discuss these issues. And I'm very happy to answer these questions, because of all the people I've talked to, there might have been a few that were originally maybe not happy with it, but once I've discussed it with them, they've come on board. So for the 2 years I've been talking about this, not one person has at the end said, I'm against this. Everyone has been for this. There's just so many positive benefits for everybody.
One of the key components of this is the integration of traditional Indigenous knowledge. We talked a little bit about it earlier, but what can we expect to see that will be different from the past?
Well, I'm going to go to the example of rice. So for thousands of years, Rice Lake had rice. That's where it got its name from. But for about 80 to 90 years, there was no rice on Rice Lake. And about 20 years ago or so, a number of First Nations people went out and they put a bunch of rice in the lake. They put a lot in. This was known at the time, but then nothing happened. So we kind of just forgot about it. And then all of a sudden rice started popping up where they had done that. And now we have a substantial rice bed, and we would love to keep that going. So this is one of those things where bringing back that rice in that traditional knowledge way and harvesting it. We only harvest a little bit. The rest goes back into feeding the ecosystem. The birds and the fish love that. That's what they feed on. So this is the first step to bringing the indigenous life back to the lake.
When does personhood come into effect?
Well, we actually have a three-step process. So this resolution that we passed was just step one of three. So our step two is the creation of the Rice Lake Legal Personhood Alliance and Water Management Plan. So this is where we're going to bring all of our allies together and finally form that alliance and that management plan. So we need to say what the plan is. It's nice to have the resolution granting it under our law, but we need to have a plan. So step two is that alliance and creating that management plan. Step three is legal policy and communications integration. So this is when our council, in partnership with local, regional, provincial, and federal authorities, the efforts would aim to embed Rice Lake's legal personhood within environmental and water protection frameworks, which would ensure a multi-level legal recognition. And at the same time, during the whole process, the communications plan will be developed that will publicly announce the adoption of the resolutions to inform the community, share the progress throughout the process, and fostering transparency, education, and celebration of this collective achievement. So we should also have a finance plan to go along with that, just to be able to manage all of the efforts that we would need to be undertaking.
Sounds like there's a few miles to go yet.
There is. Until to be a fully integrated legal personhood, we need to complete all three of those steps. So we've just completed the first step, but it's a major step.
Will there be anything that will impact Rice Lake and its management in the interim while all these other pieces are falling into place?
Well, I think right now we've got a lot of groundwork to do. We have to get out there into the communities. We've got to let them know what the plan is. We need to know everyone's opinion. With the Magpie River as large as it was, there weren't a lot of people on there. There wasn't a lot of voices for people to input. So we have a lot of people on Rice Lake, adjacent to Rice Lake. So we would love to speak with all of them. We also have the tributaries, the Otonabee, the Indian River. We want to speak to the people on those, because what happens on the lake affects those rivers, and what happens on those rivers affects our lake. So we want to bring everyone who is in any way associated with the lake to be engaged in this process.
But as we were talking about earlier, part of this is enforcement. Is there going to be any enforcement or anything move forward on that level, or a guardian council being created as you move through these other steps?
Well, I think creating the argument for that increased funding for enforcement would be a first step. Because once you identify a problem, that problem needs to be solved. So I think right now people are happy to say there is no problem. And that's how we got to this point in the first place. Everyone's just turning a blind eye to the slow destruction of our lake. So what we're trying to do now is to bring that spotlight onto that destruction. So once that spotlight's on there, you can't argue that you're not going to do anything about it. So we feel that once we identify the problem, the powers that be are going to have to do something about that problem. And that's the gist of it.
So is that going to happen in parallel with these other steps, or is that something that you have to wait until the three steps are done?
Well, I think that's something we can start now. We can start our science. Data collection is going to be key. We can start taking samples. We can start taking fish stock studies. So I think those are on the ground things that we can should be doing right now anyway, but that we can start moving forward with. That there is a cost to that, obviously, but I think it's not a major cost.
And enforcement, will that be also part of this interim steps?
I think so. I think we would definitely need to sit down with the OPP, let them know that perhaps there should be a designated watercraft specifically for over harvesting. I think that's key, because we've just seen it throughout the year. And to us, that's the big problem, is people who are fishing out of season, coming from the GTA, as I said, and just not caring about our lake. They have no investment in our lake except the fact that they want to take as many fish as they can.
If people have concerns or questions, how should they get these addressed?
There's a lot of questions to ask. So I think, you know, I'm pretty busy, so I might not be the one to send emails to. I would, if you want to send me an email, that's great. It's one of those things where we do want to have that public engagement. We would love to have forums in your township or host one for the larger community. So we're still figuring out what that engagement communications plan is going to look like. I think even this podcast, this radio show that we're doing right now is going to go a long way to taking some of the mystique and questions out. So I think right now we're doing a lot of that communications.
Why did you pick this particular time at the COP30 conference in Brazil to announce this?
Well, it was sort of a perfect storm. This is something we've been working on for 2 years. We've had a lot of progress, and it was only in the last few weeks that I even knew I was going to COP. This wasn't something that was on my agenda. In fact, I had a little bit of a vacation planned for that, so it wasn't on my agenda whatsoever. But we had been moving along with this, and knowing that I'd be at COP, which I am right now, and this was just all coming to fruition. So it seemed like the right time to announce something like this, and it was just a wonderful serendipity, if you will, to have this announced there.
Chief, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
I want to thank Alderville First Nations Chief Tainar Simpson for talking to me today. I want to thank you for joining our conversation, and I hope you enjoyed this time to learn more about what's going on, the stories and issues facing Indigenous people living in Northumberland and elsewhere. That's all for this week. I'm Robert Washburn. Join us again next time for Conversations Towards Reconciliation with Tainar Simpson.